Yep.
Log Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Straight Talk Radio. I am your co-host, Blair Nash. Hope everyone is having a good week so far. I'm waiting for my co-host, Ted, to get into the building, and I'm assuming he will be there shortly. He'll be here shortly. Ted, are you there? Okay, all right. I don't know what's happening with Ted's line, but we're having a slight technical difficulties, but he will be with us shortly. So thanks again for everyone for listening. Today's topic is talking about, is Me Too taboo for men to discuss? The overall thing that we're going to be talking about is just kind of how things have gotten to where they are, you know, with the whole Me Too movement. We're just going to give me just a minute, please, everyone, if you could just hold the line for just a moment, please. Ted, are you there? Hello, Ted. Hey, Blair. Ted,
Blair,
are you there?
I am. I'm here loud and clear.
There you go. My God. There you go. Awesome.
What's up, man?
Wow. That's very interesting.
Yeah.
Am I still coming through?
Yeah, you're still coming through, yeah. Loud and clear.
Okay,
I can hear you.
Perfect. Perfect.
All right.
Great.
Technical difficulty. Right. I apologize. Sorry.
Yep. And I guess technology does that, and when it works, it's great. And when it doesn't, it doesn't. So thank you, everyone, for your patience, and welcome to Straight Talk with Ted Santos and Blair Nash. You've already heard from Blair. And, hey, Blair, you know, before we go down this topic, I wanted to say, you know, last week we had a really good topic, and we talked about sex. And, you know, it's interesting when I ask the women a question, it's if their man no longer wanted to have sex. And, you know, one woman wasn't so sure, the other woman was clear. But you know what, from another perspective, and it's kind of relevant for today, the first woman kept saying, well, he has to have a reason to not want to have sex. And I thought about it afterwards. As a man, if your woman says she doesn't want to have sex, that's the only reason she needs to have. And if we try to force it beyond that, we're considered abusing her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's called something else.
So
I
think it's interesting that the way we talk about equality and freedom of choices, it seems men don't really have the same freedom of choices to say no. They have to, when it comes to sex, you have to have a reason, otherwise it's a problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
yeah,
the other thing is, you know, you asked them about men being honest, and they really don't want us to be honest. It's like they're setting up the playing field for a guy to be a player, because you have to figure out a way to say the same thing without being straight. So it's a game you have to
right.
play, like jumping through hoops.
Right. Right. Exactly.
So
I
think last week's topic about sex is a perfect segue into into what we want to talk about here. You already mentioned
right.
Me Too. And, you know, this might be the most controversial show we ever do. Hopefully it's not,
right.
but it might be. And I'd like us to definitely take calls. I would love to hear from the guys and the women. But I'd like to set the stage for this, sort of create a context and set up the playing field. And for the ladies who say this show is a man's perspective, you're absolutely right. It is. Straight Talk is a show for men, by men, and it's a place, I'll say it's the best place in the world for men to openly discuss how they feel about the state
mm-hmm.
of today's relationships. And
right.
as a consequence, it's really a good place for women to learn how men really think.
Right.
Without an
yeah.
argument, to actually just hear what a man has to say.
Right.
What were you
going
to
say? I'm excited about it. I cannot wait. I can't wait. So, like I said, I'm ready to talk about this particular topic, because it's one that actually is a hot button topic, but it's also one that for me is kind of close to home, because I've seen a few of my work acquaintances, buddies, go through certain things. And I'll just leave it at that. I won't go into any too many details, but I'm really ready.
Well,
yeah.
You know, Blair, before the ladies start to say that we're putting them down, we're really not. And we're not interested in making men victims, especially in this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? For the past few decades, the world has only been listening to women, the women's side of the story, for everything. And there have been consequences. And you and I have some pretty good stats on some of these things. But this show is really just designed to discuss the other side, as well as the consequences of women, for example, competing with men. So ultimately, I know you and I have talked about this. We really want to see people create strong relationships. And you said it best, if men and women don't sit down and actually talk and listen to one another first, it's just never going to happen.
Right.
So
absolutely.
I'm going to say we've had a really good impact, because there's a woman I spoke to, and she said that she grew up with three brothers, and listening to the show for the first time, she actually understood that men want the same thing that women want. And she said she had never considered that before, even though she grew up with
uh-huh.
three brothers. So that's a testament that the show is actually doing its job. So
right.
I'm gonna say a few things, and some of them are gonna be unpopular. And
uh-huh.
you know, for the record, Blair, I don't want anyone to be upset with you. These are my perspectives. So these are my own thoughts. They are not Blair's thoughts. So if you're gonna be upset with me, not with Blair. And so I talk to a lot of men in the U.S., in other countries, And one of the concerns is that feminism has gone a little bit too far. And men, you know, we've just been silent. And if we speak up, we're ostracized for that. So,
right.
So I also want to say, since we're talking about Me Too, I don't think exploiting anyone sexually is appropriate. Mm-hmm. It's good. I don't think it's healthy for any society. So I'm completely against sexual exploitation in any way. But you know what? In the U.S., and maybe a lot of women don't know this, maybe a lot of guys don't know this, but there are more men raped in the U.S. than women in any given year, especially when you count prison and the military.
Right.
So that's, you know, Me Too really wants to stop men who are sexually abusing women, you have to deal with it holistically. Only going after men, and a lot of these men have been molested or raped, and those are some of the same guys who then go on to exploit women. So if we don't stop all of it, none of it's going to stop.
Right.
So, and I'm not really I'm not really sure if the Me Too movement, it's come on rather strong and very aggressively going after men, not sure what the real intent is. Like, I'm not sure if the Me Too movement is trying to eliminate men from the workforce, eliminate men from society. I don't know, because if you think about it, and this is one of those things where some women may be upset. To my knowledge,
and if a woman
can call in and tell me, to my knowledge, women haven't created any industries here in the U.S. All the industries have been created by men. And I know women will say, well, they built companies, yes. But you know what? When you create an industry like the oil industry, the steel industry, the computer industry, the software industry, even the social media industry, you don't even know if they're going to be customers. You don't know if it's a viable business. You risk your reputation. You risk all of your money, and you risk losing it all on something that you can't even prove that it's going to be a viable business. And what we can do is let the men roll up their sleeves, do all the hard work. We take all the risk, and then they want a seat after the table after we build the industry. If women are that upset with us, create an industry or create a company with all women and don't do business with men at all.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
Go ahead, Ted. I was going to say I have a lot more to say, but I'd like to hear from some of the callers. Do people think Me Too has gone too far?
Okay, so we're gonna take a few calls and everything. So hold the line just a minute, and I will grab a caller on the line. All right, our first caller of the evening is from the area code 609. Area code 609. Are you there?
Yes. Good evening. This is Abdul.
Hey.
Hi. Good evening, caller. Well, caller, what's your name? Where you calling from, please?
Calling from New Jersey, Avenel, New Jersey.
Blair, let's
okay,
put
Abdul,
him on hold. Let's put him on hold. Yeah.
Okay.
Put him on. Right. Keep him. All right. Abdul, stay right there. I just keep listening
okay.
to the show. We're going to come back to you.
Okay. I'll put him on hold. All right. So the next caller we have is from area code 917. 917 area code. Are you there? Area code 917.
I'm here. Yes.
Hi.
I'm here.
You?
917.
Good. How you doing, ma'am?
Good.
Who's calling? State your name, please, and where you're calling from.
I'm Judith, and I'm calling from Manhattan.
Hi, Judith from Manhattan. Thank you for calling
me
to the show, Judith. What's your question or comment, please?
I didn't hear the last thing that you said.
I thought, that's no problem. I said, what is your question or comment, please?
Oh, my comment. Well, my comment is that what I see the Me Too movement is doing is joining the LGBT community. And there's a plan. There's a plan set up, and it's in the school system. And this plan is set up and this plan is to dismantle the family structure that we know of it right now, and it's starting. This way of life is starting in the school system as young as in the classroom with preschool children, where they're being taught that the family structure is, you know, having two moms, two dads, and the family structure as we know it is not even mentioned. So, you know, I heard of the Me Too movement, and I started, listening to what they're about. And they had interviews with girls talking about how boys talk to them and how the boys are putting them down. And I was like, what are you going to do? You're going to go into the school system and protect all the girls from boys harassing them? That's normal. And so there is a structure that's put in place right now to disrupt the black family, make the black family even more extinct. I was talking to a cab driver, and he said that his friends just had a baby, and they were filling out the form, and on the form it says male, female, and now it says other. So I was like, oh my God, now it says other, right? And I was like, this thing is all over the place. I was like,
Judith?
Yes.
Judith?
Yeah.
We got to get to some more callers and everything. Do you have a quick question or comment that you wanted to say?
Well, I think the Me Too movement should include men too and boys that's been molested by their mother or Me Too should include all the Me Toos. That includes men and women.
So it's men and women.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Isn't that me?
Thank you very much.
Too. Me includes everyone, right?
I think
that
includes
that's
everybody.
My comment.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you so
You're
much
welcome.
For calling in, Judith. Really appreciate it.
You're welcome. You are welcome.
All right.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay. All right. Okay. So what did you think about that, Ted?
One because if we're really I'm still here.
Yeah, you're still there. Okay, I got you. Go ahead.
Okay. The last, so interesting what she said. She made two points. One is the family is being decimated as we know it as a heterosexual family. And the second one is there are men and boys, girls and women who are being molested. And if we don't deal with it, it's what I was saying, if we don't deal with it holistically, only dealing with half the problem won't stop it. It'll perpetuate. What her other concern about Me Too, I just wonder, you know, what she was saying is they are saying we have the right to teach children about homosexuality. And I just wonder, and this is going to go slightly tangential, but it's actually going to open up more Me Too, because it's almost like they're opening the door for pedophilia to be as accepted as homosexuality. And
right.
That's just going to make the whole idea of Me Too even worse, because then we're going to build into our society that it's acceptable
right.
for adult men and women to sexually abuse children, and you can't do anything
exactly.
about it because they have the legal right
it's,
now and the sexual
right.
preference. And this that's what I think Judith was getting at, and that's a dangerous thing to put into society.
Yeah, I had mentioned a while back that I thought that was the direction that our legal system was going to go. I remember probably about 6 months ago that they were testing the water, so to speak, and they put kind of a blurb out there about they were going to start to implement policy that made it so that, you know, a lot of men, especially those older men, a lot of men would not face the same criminal penalties for touching a minor, for doing things to a minor. And I remember telling a few people, I say, it's going to come, it's going to happen. And they were like, no, there's, I was like, remember, if you go back 6-7 years ago, weed was illegal. Now people can sell it in storefronts. So the idea
right.
that's so far out there is you know, it's not so much of a strange reality. Let me just say this and everything. And I, you know, like I told you, I knew that this was going to be a very controversial show. I knew that there were going to be some, you know, some people that, you know, probably don't agree with our stance on it and everything. The issue that I have mainly with the Me Too movement, and we're going to get to a few more callers here in just a moment. The problem that I have with it is for the fact of trying to penalize and criminalize men, because if you do certain things to a woman, you should be criminalized. You should be penalized, period. I don't want to even get into that aspect of it. But the problem comes when you cast out this large net and men who probably didn't do anything are now caught up in it. To me, it's like casting out a large net trying to get shrimp, and you just get all these other strange fish in there and everything. And so you have a lot of men who suffer at the idea that, you know, that women should pretty much be believed beyond a shadow of a doubt no matter what they say. We've seen time and time again, even with the situation with Brett Kavanaugh, when he got promoted into the Supreme Court, it, you know, after a few weeks, a few stories came out, you know, from very reputable sources that said that, yes, many of those women lied on Brett Kavanaugh. So it's not so far out of the scope to think that there could be people who deceive the truth. It's, you know, I remember a few months ago, probably close to 6 months ago, I remember seeing some woman on social media that said, well, if there are some men who have to lose their livelihood and whatever, if this is something that's got to happen, so be it. And I said, ladies, think about that for a second. You're willing to put at risk a man and his livelihood who's innocent, who hasn't done a thing, just based upon the fact that that women should be believed on beyond a shadow of a doubt because they put a – you know, they put it out there that a man did this to me. All we're simply saying is, let's look at all the evidence. It shouldn't be a rush to judgment. That's all we're putting out there. You know, to get your pound of flesh, I understand that. If he did wrong, he should fry, no question. But if he didn't do anything.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Blair, there was about 8 years ago, there was a guy, he was the head of the International Monetary Fund, IMF. He was a French guy. And the trajectory of his career, his next move was going to run for president of France. Well, some woman in a hotel he was staying at claimed he raped her. And he gets that, you know, that what do you call walk of shame, right? They arrest him. They walk him down, you know, to the police station. And months down the line, comes to find out that he didn't rape her. Like, it never happened. This woman made it up. That guy's career was destroyed.
Right.
He never ran for president.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there are people who don't have big jobs like that who are damaged, but that was a high-profile case and very extreme. So when I'm saying that... I wonder if feminism was dying out because more women have started opting out of the feminist movement. And I just wondered if the Me Too movement was a way to resurge it because it was dying out. A lot of women have seen the feminist movement as one that promotes more hatred of men, and it's not necessary. But if we take a few steps back, and I want you to take some calls, but I want to say this. I just wonder if the feminist movement from the beginning was always about gay women being able to get married. The problem is they would have started that movement in the 60s. There are rumors that a group of women had gone to Bernie Sanders and asked if he would pass legislation, and he said, "Your numbers aren't large enough. I can't represent a small microcosm of society." So what those women did was created tons of propaganda telling women that you're being abused and your men won't pay fair wages. And I'm going to say it was a ridiculous approach because, one, is you got women involved, heterosexual women, to help you with the cause without telling them what the real cause was. And you see where it went. It ultimately went to gay marriage. You told these women that they didn't need a man, and all that did is create widespread single mothers, which has damaged children in insane ways. No one's really talking about the boys who are in depression and taking pharmaceutical drugs because they feel a huge void in their life because they grew up without a father. Their boys talking suicide. No one is talking about this stuff. This is the result of this. Extreme feminism. And the other thing that makes it ridiculous is that these women went after all men. It's only 1% of the men who own the wealth. They didn't go after the 1%. And I'm saying it's ridiculous because if you go back 150, 130 years ago, men were in the same position. They were being paid pennies on a dollar. They worked in the most unsafe conditions. Men were dying at work, steel mills, construction. They were dying at work all the time. So instead of men being angry with everyone, what men did is sat down and negotiated with the 1%. They sat down with legislators, and when they didn't listen, they said, "Well, we'll go on strike." And, you know, there are all kinds of stories where the CEOs of those companies sent in some security guards. There was a company named Pinkerton Guards, and I think it was at U.S. Steel, Andrew Carnegie's company, where they ended up shooting a few men who were striking. So men put their butts on the line. They did the work. They negotiated with the 1%. They didn't take it out on the world. There was never any reason for women to be upset with all men and declare a battle of the sexes. Now what you see is, and it's like, so they didn't think. There was no forward thinking. Now you have a whole list of women who are over 35, over 40, never married, no children, and women are going to live to be 85, 90 years old, and to be alone, it's a reality that it's not a nice thing to say, but that's what some women are facing because they said, "I didn't need a man," and now that's exactly what they have. So I think women, the feminist movement, I have nothing against women wanting to be married to one another. I have nothing against that. But to take it out on all men and then to use women who were unsuspecting and didn't know your real intention, it was unfair. Uh-huh. It's done a lot of damage to society. So I'm going to be quiet from there.
Right. Call in number again for those who are listening. The number is 323-642-1387. Again, 323-642-1387. We're going to get to all the callers we can this evening. The topic again is Me Too. Is the Me Too taboo for men to discuss? I'm going to take a call here in just a second, Ted. But the one thing I would just say is, you know, and I will say this, and this is going to, you know, this is going to offend as well. I don't really think that a lot of women really fought the whole Me Too movement out. I think that they were, you know, there was a kind of a call to action. There was a following. There was a movement. but I don't think that they really kind of considered what were going to be the long-term ramifications of going after not only your average, you know, guy who makes, you know, 50, 60, 70, 80 a year, but going after, like you said, some of the big wigs out here. You would talk about, you look at some of the men they've taken down, like, you know, Harvey Weinstein, Kevin Spacey, what's the guy, is it Les Moonves or whatever that they took down recently? There were a lot of powerful
not
men
sure.
basically the past calendar year that the Me Too movement has actually gotten in their grasp. And I think, you know, and we'll talk about this a little bit more as we go along, I think what's going to be the fallout of it is that you are going to see less and less companies willing to bring women on board. They're just going to get to a point where they say, you know, hey, the risk is just not worth it. It's not worth, you know, the possibility of having someone. I'm not talking about someone who does something wrong. You know, if what they're saying about Harvey Weinstein is true, he should fry, he should cook. I'm not talking about, again, the idea that someone shouldn't be penalized for doing wrong. What I'm talking about is the idea that you can put a possible, you know, he did this on someone, and the fact that that man should be taken down, he should be stripped of his everything, his, you know, his work, his everything, his resume, his reputation, everything just goes down in flames simply based on the idea that someone feels maybe they want to get back at that man or what have you. I think that's horribly wrong. So that's what we're talking about. So let me get to another caller here and hear what they have to say. Area code 323. Go ahead. You are live and on the air.
Hi, how's it going? My name is Clifford Martin, calling from Los Angeles, California. How you guys doing?
Hey, Clifford.
Hey.
All right. How about you?
I'm doing fine, man. Initially, with the topic of the Me Too movement, initially I wasn't informed or educated on what was the true meaning behind the movement. And initially I supported it because, you know, I'm an actor. I'm an upcoming actor in Hollywood, and I hear a lot of things. I'm not around the big guys such as Harvey Weinstein or big actors such as Denzel Washington or Jennifer Lawrence. But initially I supported it because, you know, I felt like if women were being wronged to get a certain spot in Hollywood and gain some fame and status, I felt like it was, you know, it was justified that the movement started. But once, you know, as the movement progressed, other celebrities and activists, women activists start speaking out, it kind of turned my nose up a little bit because I started to wonder, you know, what were the ramifications going to be in the future? And as you guys mentioned previously, a lot of companies, a lot of big corporations in Southern California are, you know, low-key discriminating against women because they don't want to take a loss. They would rather take a discrimination case with not hiring a woman than dealing with a sexual harassment or a sexual assault case, which could potentially hurt the corporation detrimentally. And, you know, like I said before, I was online this morning on Yahoo, and I read an article dealing with Harvey Weinstein and Jennifer Lawrence. And an unknown actress, she's anonymous, going by the name of Jane Doe. No one knows who she is. She came out and said that Harvey Weinstein sexually assaulted Jennifer Lawrence, and Jennifer Lawrence stated that it never happened, and she didn't understand, and Harvey Weinstein had his publicist speak about it. And, you know, being in California, Southern California, with so many opportunities out here and so much money floating around, I'm not surprised that a lot of this is going on because a lot of these women in Hollywood want the fame and status, and they are willing to sleep with powerful older men to gain that status. I mean, you think
correct.
About it, your average Joe, if you're making $100,000 to $200,000 a year and a woman finds that out, she would be willing to sleep with you if you can give her a business opportunity or a career path that would get her out of the situation she's in. So my whole perspective on it is very negative in nature currently. And little by little is dying out because a lot of women are starting to figure out that this is not going to work for their benefit. Yes, they can gain money, but a lot of them also, you know, most women, they view success with a measuring stick as having a family and, you know, a kid. That's what most women,
right,
you know, really want. And it's taking that away from them. So if you have a woman who's 35 and up, and all of her family and friends are married and have kids, they're going to start questioning why she didn't get married and have kids. And if they figure out that she's part of the Me Too movement, they're going to say, okay, well, you're justified, but she's still not going to get what she wants. Because women don't really care about money. They care about money only when it's the man providing. That's it. Women don't really care about money. They care about their feelings, their emotions, and how it looks like to the outside world. And I can't really speak on everybody who's working a corporation, but I've worked with several corporations after I discharged honorably out the military. And I'll be the first to tell you, you'll see some attractive, beautiful woman come in at the age of 22, 23, working at the desk job, at the front desk as an admin assistant. And in 2 or 3 years, she's working hand-in-hand with the boss. And then most people are like, well, how did that happen? Well, it doesn't take rocket science. You know, she slept with the boss. She slept with someone important. So this has been going on for years. It's just that a lot of women in Hollywood and a lot of, like you guys say, lesbian women, they're using it as a leverage to empower women to stick together and pretty much take over and have men on the downside.
That's what I mean by I don't think women really thought the whole thing out. I think they looked at it kind of like checkers. You know, this is what we can have. We can take down these men and this man, and we can go after this man. But I don't really think that they kind of looked at the long-term concept of it. Like, well, this could really come back to bite us down the road. And that's what we're speaking about this evening. Go ahead, Ted.
Well, I was going to say, it's almost like women are going after some of these big jobs with the hopes that we'll have women in more of these jobs. And what they're attempting to do, it seems, is to have equality for women to have jobs, the same amount of powerful jobs are filled by women as for men. And it doesn't really work like that. So I already said women haven't created any industry out here. The other thing is when they look at the choices and they look at personality profiles and they've done these personality tests around the world and in all countries, what they see is that women tend to choose jobs that involve people, and men choose jobs that are either abstract or have things involved. So women generally want jobs where they can make a difference or help some way in the world. And it's like the Me Too is trying to force something. I mean, if you look at just the healthcare industry, females make up 75% of the workers in health-related jobs. They only make up 25% of computer-related jobs and only 14% of engineering. So women have all these degrees, they have the choices, and they're still choosing there are jobs that they're choosing over others. They're choosing healthcare over engineering. So the Me Too is they're fighting for something without really looking at the reality of what's going on. Like they're ignoring what's actually happening.
Agreed. Yes. And I was going to say there was a statistic that was done. I read it last year when I was in college. There's a statistic done that women in the workforce, if they were at a job 2 to 5 years and they hadn't made a compatible mate or a guy they could see themselves in a long-term monogamous relationship with, they would end up quitting the job. And I was stunned. I was shocked at that because I said, oh, my God. You know, women are really going into these jobs trying to find a man? Like, I couldn't believe it. I was like, I thought the purpose of going to work was to earn an income and hopefully one day, you know, own your own business. Like you're literally going to work to meet a man. I was like, this is unreal.
Yeah, of course. I'm sorry. What's your name again? The caller.
Clifford Martin.
Clifford. Hey, you made some really valuable comments. Thanks for calling in this evening.
Yes, sir.
Are
you still there?
Blair, that 609 number, I think he said his name was Abdul. Can you pick that up? Because can you bring him? I'd like to introduce him to our callers.
Okay. Yeah, I sure will. Before I do that, let me just say, again, for those who just started listening, the call-in number for us is area code 323-642-1387. Again, 323-642-1387. What I would just say, and I'm going to bring him in here in just a second, but what I will say to the listeners is, I would just implore you that if you have, you know, because as I said, I've reached out to a number of different individuals. I talked with a couple of guys. They were a little skittish about coming on because even though they were found at the end of the day to not have been, they were vindicated and they found to not have done what had happened, the impact that it cost their career was just dramatic. And so what we were just, you know, one of the things that we simply would just want to bring out to the women is, as I always tell women, we're on your side. We're not here to, you know, we're not here to make any sort of, you know, scenario or put any sort of, you know, energy out there that says that there are not, that there are women who, you know, every woman out there is, you know, not telling the truth, or that there have not been women who have been impacted, or that certain women have not had certain things happen to them. What we are simply saying, what we are essentially bringing to the, what we're bringing to everyone to talk about this evening is, let's look at all the factors before we make a rushed judgment. When you talk about a person's livelihood, when you talk about the fact that this man is now going to have a forever damaged reputation, you have to move just a little slow, because if it's a situation, and I shouldn't say move slow, you have to get all the facts in. You should find out the facts very quickly, and if you find out that everything is correct and all the everything lines up and all that, then you do what you need to do. So, all right, I just had to get that out. So you said area code 609, correct?
Right. You took his call before.
Okay. Right, right. Clifford, if you would just hang the line, I would appreciate it, and we'll come back to you here shortly, okay?
Okay, sounds good. All right, bye-bye.
All right, thanks. Okay, hold the line for just a minute. Okay, so we are now going to bring in area code 609. All right, let me get him on line. 609, are you alive and on the air?
Yes, good evening.
Hey.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, Abdul.
Hello. All right.
Introduce yourself to the audience.
Yes, my name is Fuquan El Tyrone, but I go by Abdul because of my newfound faith. But my real name is Fuquan Tyrone, but my newfound faith got me going by Abdul, you know, the servant.
Okay. All right. So, Abdul, the reason Abdul is on this call is because of what I was saying and what another call, the woman Judith, said is Me Too should include men and women. And so we're saying that men are these horrible beasts who are sexually abusing women and girls, and I like to look at this from another perspective. And some of you may say, well, this doesn't happen much. But Abdul is here to talk about what happened to him from the age of 13 and his sexual experiences with an adult woman, and how that, but what I want you to also get is how that affected him as a man. And some of the choices he made because of that as an adult male. And this happens way more than people think. And look, part of the problem is our society is designed to say, well, a 14-year-old boy has sex with a woman in her 20s and we high-five him, except when a 20-something-year-old man has sex with a 14-year-old girl, we want to execute him. So I'm sure if Abdul's story would have happened to a girl, people would still want to be on the hunt looking for that man. And the negative consequences are equally as damaging for a boy as it is for a girl. So I'd like him to tell your story
Clifford or other people who have questions for him, I invite you all to call in. So, Abdul, I'm going to shut up. I might ask you a couple of questions, but sort of set up what happened when you were 13 years old.
13 years of age, 1993. I was in the 8th grade, and I lost a loved one, a grandmother who was taking care of me. So the next-door neighbor, she volunteered, well, I'll take Abdul in. You know what I mean? I'll be his legal guardian. I was troubled. And within that relationship, through time, it began to get sexual. And I thought that it was the way of life, but the way she groomed me, now that I'm old enough to realize what she did and the mistakes she made, now I see the game that she was playing. Like, you know, she made it seem like she was rewarding me with sex. In all actuality, she was feeding a feel-good, know what I mean? To later on not
so,
prepare me for life.
Would she wake you up in the middle of the night just to have sex?
Well, nights like that, she would say when she knew that she wanted to have sex that night, she would say, well, I can come in a room and watch TV, and, you know, I will fall asleep in the bed with her. Then, you know, she'll wake me up to sex. I'll already be in a room with her.
Okay. How did that affect you, your performance in school?
Well, the first 2 years of high school, I mean, I did good. I was practically on an honor roll. But later on, I wasn't doing good because, you know, I really took it out on sports, the anger, the frustration. And then when it was time that she would bring other men home, I would get jealous. And no one would understand why I would be jealous because another man is around, because no one knew what was going on within the household. So, you know, I would show out in school, you know what I mean? I would get in trouble with the young ladies in school trying to imitate or mimic what me and my foster mother had going on in the household we were doing school. And we would get caught, and I would get punished. And then she would say, well, why would you do this if you have me? And she came up with this theory. You know, she was dating a guy who was incarcerated. And she said, well, I'm going to deal with this guy and you. And these are the terms of the agreement that we're going to have, and you allowed to have one female friend outside of me. And those were the terms that she came with, you know what I mean? And them terms got violated, and she acted out in violence. So that's how I ended up getting taken out of that home.
Wow. Okay. And so how did that make you see women as you grew older?
I mean, I believe that they were there to cater to men, either to, you know, make babies or fulfill my needs, sexual needs. They didn't have too much of a say-so. I mean, they were just there to listen because I thought that the man was dominant because my foster parents were putting me on that pedestal to be dominant. You know what I mean? They would be, you know, sort of submissive to me because, you know, they were providing everything, but they were the lower link when it came to sex because they would prey on me for sex and things like that. So I grew up thinking that women were there to satisfy men more so. They didn't have, like, any mutual demands or anything like that.
And as long as, so it sounds like as long as you fulfill them sexually, that's all you have to do.
Pretty much.
Okay.
Wow.
Blair, did you have a question for him?
No, I'm just kind of absorbing it all. I'm just like, wow. Yeah, man.
Okay. So, and so the guys your age, what do they think of that?
Well, when I first started to tell my best friend, you know, he thought I was making up whoppers, you know, lies or, you know, exaggerating
right.
or anything. So no one believed me until I started to say, well, look, I'm not lying. I'm going to get physical evidence to prove that there's something going on. Know what I mean? Or it was like a wordplay that I would use with her that he already knew that's how I talk to women, and she would play that game with me. So he was like, you know, something is going on, you know,
wow.
Because if I tell him that, you know, lunchtime mean that, you know, I'm getting that nourishment from the milk. And she's playing that lunchtime game with me. He observed me, you know, making that communication with her. Then that becomes
right.
proof. And it was like nobody didn't believe me. So I had a hard time being understood.
Interesting. And did you think that, if she ever got upset with you, I mean, was sex ever used as a weapon or manipulation, or was it used in any way that made you think that that's what sex was for, to be used for something?
The way I saw it, like, you know, on the times when she kept herself distanced from me, and, like, you know, she wasn't looking for sex, you know, she have, you know, a typical type of attitude where you say, oh, the woman's PMS, and this is my idea as a 13, 14-year-old, I'm like, she's PMS and she's going through it, and, you know, she would be, like, really, really uptight. And when she do give in and say, well, I'm ready to have sex, and we have sex and everything, she will loosen up a whole great deal. So I thought this was the ways of a woman. Like, if she don't you know, that physical need met, she's going to be so uptight where she's not going to be able to concentrate at work. She's not going to be able to hold a conversation. You know, she's not going to be able to function without the sex. So these are the things I began to believe coming up.
So you, wow, interesting. What a way to get trained. And so how did that affect your relationships with women once you became a man?
Wow. I mean, I lost a lot of good women because of my maladaptive ways that I learned. I really did, and a lot of them I regret. But, like, you know, there was one that I can recall, like, yesterday because, you know, it was like she said that I was living too fast and we were moving too fast. Although I knew her since the second grade and we came up in school, and when she went to college, I ran into her again. But by that time, I barely graduated high school, and I had a car, I had a job, and she was like, well, how are you doing so good? Are you, like, in a gang or something like that? Like, you're doing too good. And I was moving so fast, it was like, you know, I would only call her, like, if I wanted her to spend the night because I knew I had to work, and then I had to get up first thing in the morning to go to school. So I was using her, you know, for her flexibility and her schedule to meet my schedule. So I would have her come over. I would, you know, let her hold my car, just drop me off at work, and you can hold the car all day, just pick me up, just be there for me at night when I need you. So there was no communication. There was no you know, midday conversation. There was no too much dating. The dating was, you know, just a part of the game that I played.
Okay. So, and sort of like with the woman who is she was your legal guardian, like what you thought was, as long as you give a woman sex, the relationship is fine, and she'll be, you know, it smooths things out, and sex solves everything.
Exactly, and that's the mentality I came up with, you know, even the frustration, the anger, you know, that I had as a child, you know, I sexualized that because the foster parents was teaching me that, you know, sex was the feel good, that's the go-to, it relieves the stress, and it's good to have sex, just have protected sex. So that's what was taught in the household.
So how many women were having sex with you in the household?
Well, okay. I was awarded the state of New Jersey from the ages of 13 to I was 18 years old. I went back home at 18. So I was in 4 foster homes, and each one of the foster mothers actually engaged in sex with me. And one in the household, the foster sisters, were as well.
Interesting.
So
you know, go ahead, keep going.
One of the times, you know, we got caught. You know, and they took me out the home. But, you know, they didn't actually, the state didn't push to indict her or anything like that. They just took me out the home, and they gave her another foster daughter instead.
Okay. Hey, so give me your name one more time. I'm sorry.
Faquan,
okay.
Faquan Abdul.
Hold the line. Faquan Abdul, okay. Faquan, I want you to stay on the line and everything. I don't want you to go anywhere. But we're going to try and take another quick call, okay?
Okay.
All right.
The call-in number again is 323-642-1387. 323, area code, 642-1387. Let's try to take another call real quick. Caller, area code 786. You were live and on the air. Go right ahead. Area code 786.
Oh, hey, I think that's me. Hello, can you hear me? Hello,
hi.
786, how are you?
Yeah, who's
calling?
Hello, can you hear me?
We can.
Yes, we can hear you. Go right ahead. State your name and where you're calling from.
This is Monica McCoy. I'm calling from Atlanta, Georgia.
Hi,
hey,
Monica,
how are you?
I'm good. You guys, thanks. And yourselves?
Doing well. Doing good.
So what
did you have a question or did you have a comment or what?
I literally just popped into the call like less than 5 minutes ago, so I you guys want to fill me in on what? I mean, I did catch a bit of what I believe they're doing with Amos Kwan.
Yeah.
I caught a bit of what he was saying
as
far as being in the foster system. Sorry. But yeah, I mean, I guess I'll just sound listening for now, but I really, you know, I literally just got on the call a few minutes ago.
Okay. So the topic we're speaking on today is Me Too, and I'll just kind of bring up the speed. Is Me Too taboo for men to discuss? So pretty much the Me Too movement, as you know, has been kind of spoken on mostly by women. It's pretty much been something that women have had the platform to speak about. You know, I mean, we've seen the commercials, we've seen the programs, we've seen the stuff on social media, et cetera. And so What we're talking about tonight is the other side of Me Too, whether it be the fact that men have been, you know, victims of being Me Too. You know, is it for Kwan? I don't want to butcher your name. I'm sorry.
Yes, it is.
Okay, for Kwan. For Kwan, and Mitch has been talking about some things, as I'm sure you heard. Also, men, as you've seen in the media, there have been men who've been kind of put out there that, you know, they were sexual pariahs, et cetera, et cetera. So we're kind of coming to it tonight from the more, the kind of the different version of it being something that men talk about. So, so yeah, that's where we're at. So, yeah, that's what we're talking about this evening. So that now you're brought up to speed.
Okay, thank you so much, Blair. I believe for men, and I have spoken with men who have been sexually abused, whether it be by women or men, whether it be in foster care or in their own or in homes where, you know, they had a mom and dad. I mean, I just came from an event a couple of weekends ago, the personal development event, where quite a few of the people in the room were, you know, were molested, and quite a few of these people are men. And I think when it comes to men talking about their sexual molestation, whether it be, you know, by a woman or by another man, I don't think there's society doesn't how do I say it? Society does view it differently for men versus women. Society has this man-up mentality when it comes to men. It's, even though men are human beings too, it's like, oh, well, hell, if a woman did something to you, like Oklahoma was saying, his foster mom or foster mothers, Vanessa, and they, you know, did sexual acts to him as well as his sister, a lot of times the men are told, you know, well, hell, like it's like you're supposed to man up. Like, you're not supposed to feel like you're a victim. Like, it's supposed to be okay, which I always thought was irrational for anyone to tell that, to expect a child to think it's okay just because that child's a boy. Boy or girl, but I'm saying specifically for men, for boys, don't, you know, for a boy to be taught that it's okay. Or, I've heard all sorts of comments from men about that. Like, oh, what's the problem? You know, you're getting some action, you're learning from a young age. I mean, I think it's horrible. Sexual abuse is sexual abuse. I don't care what age you. I mean, I'm not age. I don't care if it's a boy or girl. And I really feel like men don't have the space to talk about it. They're not. They're discouraged from talking about it. Women are discouraged too, but for men, it's for different reasons. You're discouraged because a man, you're automatically supposed to be this sexual creature that just bangs everybody you can get your hands on. So if you're having sex and someone's abusing you from a young age, I feel like for men, a lot of times, it's not even looked upon as sexual abuse, especially if it's by a woman. Because it's like, oh, you're getting some action, which I think that's completely gross and wrong. You know, hearing Kwan, you know, tell his story, I just caught the tail end of it. But I think that's absolutely horrible that these women thought it was okay to take advantage of this child's innocence. Period. You can't.
Yeah.
Society
well,
needs to stop acting like it's okay when boys get, you know, sexually molested. It's wrong at any age or anyone.
Well, and see, Monica, my concern is that when boys are sexually molested, they become the perpetrators of molesting other women.
Right, and that can happen. I've heard about that as well. Well, I was molested too, so I wouldn't be this to Susie or what have you. I've heard that.
Right, so if we don't stop the whole thing, none of it stops. But just while Monica's there, Fuquan, let me ask you, would you be proud to have your son, would you want your son to be in a situation where he's 13 having sex with an adult woman? Would you accept that?
Never.
You said never?
Never.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I mean, that kind of answers it right there.
Right. Okay. Monica, if you could stay on the line, please. We're going to try to go to another caller. Hold the line for just a moment, please. Hello, caller. Are you there? And that's area code 5. Excuse me. Area code 513. Are you there, caller?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Caller,
hello.
State your name, please. Where are you calling from?
This is Felipe calling from Cincinnati, Ohio.
Hey,
Cincinnati. All right. All right.
Thanks for
our
calling.
Topic tonight, Felipe. Our topic tonight is Me Too taboo for men to discuss. What are your thoughts on that?
Can you repeat that? I'm sorry. I hear a lot of static.
Yeah, that's okay. The topic that we're discussing tonight is Me Too a taboo topic for men to discuss?
Yes, it's a very taboo topic because if you see or hear something that you don't agree with, like maybe someone being charged with a crime against a woman or some allegations, and you're not running with the allegations, and you want to maybe wait until you can get more information, you get hit with basically they tell you that you're supporting rape culture.
Right.
Or if someone gets tried for a sex crime or some type of alleged harm towards a woman, and they beat the case, the man beats the case, if you celebrate his victory with him, you support rape culture, even if he proclaimed his innocence from jump. So he can't even get found not guilty.
Right.
And you'd be okay with it because that means you support rape culture.
Right.
So technically, we're in a position where. Wait, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Felipe. Go right ahead. You got another comment.
No, I was just saying we're in a position now where we have to, as men, we have to pray for our brother to fall or get convicted. Just so we won't look bad as men.
Right, right. Let me kick it over to Ted for just a moment. Ted, are you there?
I am.
Okay, cool. So my question, Ted, and this is going to be a very polarizing question, and I'm going to throw it out there. So in the whole aspect of talking about Me Too and the kind of the fallout from it, and you know. Women should kind of be a little bit more, not be so much of a rush to judgment. I should say society shouldn't be so much of a rush to judgment to believe that men are doing wrong. Is there, and again, this is going to be a polarizing question, I realize that, is there any responsibility or accountability on the man, on the woman whatsoever? Is there? And that can be opened up to anybody. Anybody can answer that.
Responsibility in what regard? What do you mean?
Responsibility meaning does any of the fallout from what's going on with that, does any of it fall back at the feet of women?
Well, it was what I was saying before, is that if what women are really after is equal pay and greater access or greater opportunities and access to higher paying jobs, the real target is to go after the people who hold the keys to that. And those are legislators, and that's going to be the 1%. It's going to be the CEOs of the company attempting to abuse and take it out on everyone. I go to these events that are for boards of directors, and the women at that level are nervous because they think the Me Too is going too far. That, as you were, someone was saying that they're starting to say, hey, you know, putting a woman on a board could be a liability. There are guys who are women who are moving up the corporate ladder. Generally, they need a mentor to move up, and in a lot of cases, the mentor is a man. Men are saying, I'm not going into a room alone with that woman. I'm not traveling with her. I'm not sitting next to her on an airline. So women are really alienating themselves. You said it hasn't been thought through. You can't launch an all-out attack on all men. If there are specific men you want to target because of actual wrongdoing, I support that. But if you go after every man, then eventually it's going to backfire. And I think the whole feminist movement was inappropriate from the start. And they've just taken one extra step. And my question is, was it dying? And this was just a way to resuscitate it. And it may be actually backfiring.
Even if you even speak, if you even like go and check out, and there's websites and everything and links to it. If you even go and talk to the founder of the founder of the Me Too movement, who is Tawana Gray, she's a black woman. She will even admit to you that the Me Too movement is actually losing steam, and people are kind of backing off. Or, you know, we had a caller earlier that mentioned, he's like, I'm kind of taking my hands off the wheel of trying to even deal with the whole Me Too movement, because they see that. You know, when you talk about how things were with, you know, women back in, let's say, when the whole feminist movement kicked off, let's say in the late 60s, even early 70s, it had a kind of an initiative and kind of a focus that I don't really know is there now. And so what's happened is, I think a lot of people, women included, have started to kind of jump off the merry-go-round and say, I'm not going on this ride anymore. I've seen too many instances where it's more about being right and being and trying to have control and power than it is trying to bring a sexual predator to justice. Again, like I said from the very beginning, if there's a man out there and he did something to a woman, you should suffer. You should go to jail. You should be penalized. You should lose everything. But if that did not happen, then we have to actually go through the due diligence, all the moves and all the everything to make sure that that man's name is still kept intact afterwards. This is what I don't think that the Me Too movement is focused on. It's focused on if we say jump, you act how high, and we're now seeing the impact and the fallout from that. So yeah.
But see, you can't keep alienating men this way. Because if we look at the fallout of this, you know, 71% of high school dropouts are out of fatherless homes. So you can't keep bashing men. You look at the there were 27 mass shooters. 26 of the 27 came from fatherless homes. You look at suicide of men. Now, this is kind of a tricky thing. Women actually do more attempted suicides. There's a higher rate of attempted suicides by women. There's a higher rate of men who actually successfully kill themselves. 77% of suicides are committed by men. Women just attempt to do it. They fail at it. Men are very successful, and their suicide is very lethal. So if we keep alienating men, some of those men are going, this aggressive behavior is not just turned inward, it's going to be turned outward. You know, we've got 7 million men who are unemployed, and a lot of them are out of the whole system of unemployment. You know, they're moving to drugs. I mean, it's not in the best interest of society to attempt to dismantle men in the workforce. because we think we should have more women. I mean, women are not choosing all of these jobs. You know, and they did. There's been a study of women in law firms and some of these really high-profile law firms, and they hire men and women, and the women are these are smart women who were top of their class. They were top in law school. And when the women get somewhere around 30 years old, a lot of these women are married, so they're married to a guy who makes equal the amount of money as they do or more. And when the women see that now that I've made partner, I have to put in 80 hours a week, a lot of women are just dropping out. They're like, I don't need to do this. Like, that extra money won't make a difference in my lifestyle because my husband makes enough money. And they don't want to put in 80 hours a week. It's the guys.
Right.
Like, and if you look at from little boys, we play more aggressively, which has us take more risks. If biologically, and maybe that's the hardest thing for women to understand, biologically we're different. And that difference impacts how we make decisions and how we pursue careers. Mm-hmm. And it really makes a difference in how competitive we are.
Right.
So to dismantle that is really counterproductive to society as a whole. And we're seeing some of the, you know, fallout of that.
All right. Let me give the number again. Area code 323-642-1387. 323-642-1387. Monica and Philippe, I know you're still on the line. If you could just hold the line for just a moment. I want to go back to, and I believe it's, is it Abdul? Is that correct?
Abdul Fuquan, yes, it is.
Abdul Fuquan, okay, cool. Thank you for calling in, Abdul. My question I want to ask to you is, have you shared your, you know, you've told a very riveting story. Have you shared your story with any of the women that you dated?
I just began to. About 3 to 4 years ago, there was a woman that I thought was special. I took out some time and I told her the victimization that I've been through and how that led me to actually be where I am. And she, at first she was appalled. She didn't believe me. She didn't know what to expect. Then I guess she questioned her, well, why are you telling me? And I'm like, well, I'm thinking that you may be the woman for me, like spending the rest of my life with, you know, type thought. And I don't think she was ready for that, but I did share.
Okay, all right.
You know,
okay,
so.
Okay, cool. Okay, cool. Well, thank you for sharing that with us. Philippe and Monica, are you both still there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm still.
Okay, and I'm sorry, I know you said it's Philippe, my apologies. Felipe, let me, Monica, let me ask you this. I want to ask Felipe a question too. But in your, whether it's your circle of friends, whether it's acquaintances, whether it's associates, have you had women tell stories of certain situations that may have happened and it's like, oh no, that story seems a little thin? Has that happened? Have you ever, or have you witnessed that?
In terms of what? Discrimination?
In terms of just scenario where. In terms of scenarios where women have said, you know, such and such did, you know, X, Y, Z to me. I mean, let me give you an example. Like, I've talked to women, I've seen both sides. I have actually seen scenarios where women have told me stories, and I'm like, wow, you need to go to the police station right now. Don't do nothing else. Go to the police station right now and tell them what happened. But then I've also heard stories from women where they've said, you know, and it's like, that's kind of a gray area. You know, he told you look nice today, and now you're running the HR, you know, saying he made you feel uncomfortable. That's a, you know, that's a gray area type of thing. And so what sometimes as men we see are a lot of gray area situations where it's like, you're really going to go and make this a big deal. I'll give you another example that I want you to answer the question. There's a, I don't know if you're familiar with the actress Ashley Judd. She actually was on, I think it was CNN, you know, several months back. And she was, you know, saying how she was, you know, had went and told the authorities that some guy had actually called her sweetheart. And he was like, you know, she was like, this is infringing upon me and making me,
And I just looked at the TV and I was like, you cannot be serious. He called you sweetheart. Okay, if you don't want him to call you sweetheart, just like, oh, thank you, and just move on. But don't make this a federal case of where now all of a sudden he's trying to somehow do something to you. So my point that I'm asking is, or question that I'm asking is, have you witnessed instances or seen instances where you've seen women say things and accuse men of certain things, and it's like that doesn't really hold a lot of water. That's kind of not really a big issue. Has it happened?
Like the instances that I've been told about. Well, let me just say this real quick. I used to be a nurse, so I've worked with women who have had a lot of sexual assault against them, whether it be in a psychiatric home, whether it be in jail, doctor's office. I've worked in a lot of clinical settings, so the things that I've learned as far as sexual behavior or sexual mistreatment towards women are probably a bit more extreme than what most people are used to, but let's say in the workplace. When I used to work or whatever, I've seen sexual harassment. I even had a bit directed, not a bit, but I've had some directed towards me, but not, I haven't seen any words like somebody, like you gave an example, someone called someone a sweetheart and the other person flipped out over it. And if a guy called me a sweetheart, I personally am not going to flip out over it. Like, I'm not going to try to push it into, oh, I'm going to go tell HR on you. You know, I'm not going to take that big of a deal towards it, but, you know, the next person might. I mean, I don't think it's worth just making a big deal over it, you know.
Right.
But, you know, you have certain things that might make one person feel uncomfortable and the other person might be okay with it. You know, I've seen situations where maybe this male and female coworker, maybe they're just cool with each other like that, okay? And they'll say some sexual stuff toward each other, and I'm like, what the hell? You know, like, if somebody I would have been like, what did you just say to me? But maybe it's because we're not cool like that. Maybe they have that type of relationship, you know, and they just say little stuff like that to each other. So I've seen situations that, like as far as the coworker front. But I would just say for all men out there, you know, there's no perfect scenario to say, oh, you have to act like this, like you're marching, like you're in the military, you know what I'm saying? And everyone's uniform looks exactly the same. But I hate to sound so elementary, you know, when we were kids, the first rule was taught to keep our hands and feet to ourselves. Just be aware that not every woman is going to be okay with you, you know, hey, baby, how are you doing today? And people are a lot of times quick to say, oh, well, the man's good looking, she's okay with it, but if it's the ugly guy, she has a problem.
Right.
I've heard that
going
around a time or ten, and I will say, I mean, I've had good looking guys say stuff to me, and it's you know, hey, who doesn't like an attractive looking person? But if I don't want you saying, you know, hey, baby, you know, you're so sexy, I'm good. Like, I don't, even if you're good looking, I don't want that towards me, and that's, you know, that's my right not to want that shit towards me, but, you know, it's, they're going to take
Monica,
whatever you comment the way they're going to take it.
Monica, you said something.
Yes.
I want to get to Felipe, and then I want to skip to Ted, and then I want to take one more call to come into the kind of the tail end of the show. You mentioned something that I thought was very, very important, and I want to get to that. Do you think that and you're specifically talking to the women because you mentioned it, do you think that the scenario is different if it's actually a guy that she is attracted to? Meaning, if you have, you know, I'll probably use, let's say, Morris Chestnut type of guy. Morris Chestnut comes up to you and is like, hey, sweetheart. And you're like, hey, Morris, how you doing? Now, if a guy comes up to you and he looks like Bookman from Good Times, are you still going to be okay with that? Or is there kind of a double standard there where it's like, well, you know, this dude, he was fine and suave and whatever else, and I'm going to let that slide. But because this dude got an old, you know, fat linebacker neck, I ain't really trying to listen to him. I don't want him calling me sweet.
That's a hot dog pack, Nick. I personally have both directed towards me, and for me personally, it's more about who I'm, a person that I'm cool with. Meaning, you know, we have,
right.
You know, when I say cool, I don't mean we doing nothing like, you know, in the bed or whatever. Just, we know each other, we cool, we might joke a little bit, whatever. But like, if you're someone I don't know, yeah, that guy might be good. I've had good looking guys at work say stuff to me, and like, oh yeah, but it's like, dude, I've had good looking guys ask me for my phone number. Like my last job, I used to work as a corrections nurse, and we all know most correction officers and police officers and deputies are men. So I worked around a lot of men, tons of men. So I've had the good looking guys, the ugly guys. ask me out, get your phone number. And it's like, you know, I don't want that type of attention. I'm like, you know what? That, you know, like, no, I'm good. Like, I'm like, for real, I'm good. I've had some, not all, yeah, make certain comments towards me. And I've, you know, but my mindset too, like, we're working. So I really like to, like, keep it professional and stuff. But yeah, if a person can be easy on the eyes. But if I don't, if we're not cool like that, if I don't know you like that, I don't want you joking me sexually, period. I don't care how you look. Yeah, he's a good looking guy, but I don't know you like that. I don't know you.
Gotcha.
That's how I feel about
gotcha
it.
Okay. I want to get to Felipe real quick, and then I want to kick it over to Ted. Then I'm going to take one more call because, like I said, we are hitting towards the end. Felipe, are you still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Awesome. Felipe, what are your thoughts? I mean, you know, I mean, well, just what are your thoughts on everything that's been said? Because there's been a lot of things that have been put out there.
I have several. For one, I think we're moving
okay
into a space where it's not okay for a man to find a woman attractive. You know,
okay,
how could I ever get to meet you or get to know you or date you if I can't see you at work and kind of give you a subtle compliment? If that subtle
right
compliment is going to be the reason I lose my job, me and you will never get married. You can be the one. Or, you know, may end up being the one. I can be the one for you. You can be the one for me. But we can miss that out of my fear of not being able to give you a subtle compliment and have it viewed as something sexual. It's almost like we're starting
right
to punish men for being attracted to women.
Right.
As a, and as far as the whole thing with the type of guy, I've seen that happen with the B word a lot, where
right
it almost can come across as a term of endearment if the right man says it, or
uh-huh
the type of guy that the woman is attracted to says it. But then if another man says it, it's almost like he tried to kill her.
Right.
So
it
it's
does
no
kind of
way
feel that way,
for
absolutely
a guy. Right. So it's no way for a man to know these things. So it's like a woman is holding the card. She gets to determine if my good morning beautiful is rapey or a compliment. She gets to decide
right
that. That's dangerous.
Right. Yeah. And that's what I, and that's what
very,
I was talking about earlier
dangerous
when I was asking, when I was asking Monica, I said, does it matter, you know, if there's an attraction to the guy? Because a guy can say, hi, sweetheart, and if there's an attraction to a guy, you're like, hey, how you doing? But if there's a guy that you're not attracted to, it's like, go away, you're bothering me. So, absolutely. Monica and Felipe, I appreciate your comments. If you want to stay on the line, I would greatly appreciate it. I'm going to kick it over to Ted, and then we're going to try and take one more call and wrap it up from there. So, thank you both.
Hey.
Thanks.
Yeah, thank you both for calling in and participating. Thank you. Blair, go ahead and take another call. I'll comment after.
Okay. Okay, cool. I will do that. Give me a second. All right, we're going to go to area code 786. Area code 786. You're live and on the air. Or is that Monica? Is that still you?
Yeah, that's still me.
Okay. All right, thanks. Hold on for just a minute. Okay, so we're going to go to area code 773. You are live and on the air.
Hello.
Yes.
Who's
calling?
This is Bessie Taylor calling from Chicago, Illinois.
How
are you,
Taylor? How are you?
I'm great. Just a quick question. I've been listening, and I'm curious. How is the Me Too movement a desperate attempt to bring life back to feminism? I'm confused about that part.
Sure, I'll help
you
with that.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
She's
I'll
asking me.
Go ahead.
I said that.
No,
well, past,
it's no one in particular. Either of you can answer.
Great.
Go right ahead.
The past 10 years, a lot of women have been abandoning the feminist movement. While they are still a stand for equal pay, they didn't agree with a lot of the approaches and philosophies of the feminist movement. So now, I didn't say I had empirical evidence. I said it appears is what I said, that that's what has been done, because a lot of women have been abandoning the feminist movement because they don't agree with the long-term philosophies and some of the pejorative comments and activities towards men.
And these are women from what age bracket? Millennials?
Oh, absolutely not. No, I mean, that's a whole nother conversation. The Harvard Business Review has done some interesting perspectives on how millennials are dealing with feminism, especially from a man's point. But I'm talking about women who are more seasoned and in the workforce. This is beyond the millennials. These are probably Generation X and baby boomers.
Huh. Okay, and I'm concerned with, was her name Monica or Monique? Which one was it?
Monica.
Yeah.
Monica.
Her name was Monica.
Monica, okay. I'm concerned because the statement that she made as to a lady can be offended if an unattractive guy says, hey, sweetheart, or hey, baby, as opposed to an attractive guy saying, hey, sweetheart, or hey, baby. I really think that was just a really huge generalization coming from her, because I can't agree with a handful of callers speaking for all of the women across the board. Because, see, I'm never addressed as hey, baby, or hey, sweetheart. And I say this because... Pardon me?
You said your name is Judith, right? Okay.
I didn't hear you.
He asked your name.
You said your name was Judith?
No.
My name is Bessie Taylor, and I am calling from Chicago, Illinois.
Okay, I'm thinking about the earlier caller, Bessie. Bessie, go right ahead, and if you could wrap that up in about 10 seconds, because I want to bring Monica back on to respond, but go right ahead.
Oh, but after she responds, do I get to respond as well?
Well, we may run out of time.
We only got 3 minutes left of the show, so we're running out of time. But go ahead with
your
comment.
Okay. Let her comment. I'm sorry. Maybe I should have called in earlier. I'm late. Sorry about that.
No, you're okay. You're okay, Betsy. Thank you.
I won't be late again. Trust me.
Yes, I'm here. Ms. Bessie was breaking up a little bit. I was trying to understand if she was saying that I was making a generalization about men who are attractive saying, you know, greeting a woman as, hey, baby, or sweetie, or whatever it is, versus a man that's unattractive. I just need a little clarification on that. Is it more of you saying I'm kind of saying it's okay if the guy's attractive versus he's not? Or I just need a little clarification, if you may, please.
No, can I respond to that?
Sure.
Go right ahead. But we got 30 seconds.
Can she hear me?
Yeah, she can.
Oh, my God. No, what I'm saying is, whether he's attractive or not, it's not okay. It's not okay.
Okay.
Oh, okay. I see. Right.
Okay.
And I don't.
Okay.
That's no attack, sweetheart. I'm just saying it's not okay, period.
Okay. All right, cool.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much, Bessie. You said you're from Chicago, correct?
Correct, and I will be calling in again.
Okay.
Trust me.
All right. Thank you for your call,
Betsy. Call a little earlier next time, Betsy, if you can.
I will, honey. I will not be late again. Trust me.
We will look forward to
the last 10 seconds of the show.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah. So
okay, have a nice evening.
You do the same.
Goodbye.
Thank you.
All right. Monica, thank you again for calling in. We got to wrap up the show. So thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Okay, sure. Thanks,
hey,
guys. Have a good night.
Thank you everyone for calling. Hey, and Abdul, thank you for being so open and sharing your story. I think a lot of people, both men and women, needed to hear your experience and sort of hear the long-term ramifications, how that affects you psychologically and as a human being and how you relate to women. So thanks for sharing that.
No problem.
All right, yes.
Thank you, Abdul.
Appreciate it. Enjoy your evening, brother. So we got about 60 seconds to wrap up the show. What's your thoughts, man?
it is a concern. So there are two concerns. There are concerns that men are using inappropriate sexual behavior towards women, and that's not cool under any circumstance.
And then you have women who are falsely accused. That's a big problem. And an attack on men is never going to solve problems in society. Just what we did today, I think, has to happen more often. That's it.
Absolutely. Thank you, everyone, for calling in. I greatly appreciate it. Hope you have a great week, and we will see you again next week. Thank you for listening to the Blair and Ted Show Straight Talk. We will have another riveting show next week, and thank you again. Love you much, and God bless.
Thank you, everyone. Have a great evening. Take care. Bye.